which is terrible for most people.
Yeah, no, I know better than to ask you how things are. I should just assume they're terrible all the time and never bring it up.
I mean, I watch my dog.
Yeah, I guess there is some sunlight in the universe. Welcome, everybody, to a brand new edition of Rufflecast. I am your host, Achilles. Your host, Achilles. I am two men. Let's start over. Hi, Achilles. Bye. Hi, guys.
Hi.
This is the only podcast that harbors the bad refugees Trump was talking about. This is a podcast that we discuss the movies and TVs, the movies and the TVs and the newses. And that's what we talks about. We talks about all of those.
We talks very hard.
I'm joined, as always, by the fourth member of the Dixie Chicks that got kicked out before they made it big for supporting George W. Bush, Kayla Quinn. What is good, girl?
My spaces, they weren't wide open enough.
Now that people will definitely recognize your voice, not get you confused when you don't have that accent later, we're joined by our favorite AI-generated engineer, Soman motherfucking Ryder.
Hi, I am a fixer powered by Elon Musk's farts after he has a hearty meal of soul food.
Your manhandler.
By soul food?
I'm a fart handler right now.
He doesn't mean like Southern black food. He means like the actual souls of people that he uses as food. You knew there was something wrong with him.
In, you know, the traditional Southern style as well.
Yes, by cooked up in the traditional Southern style, he means it's burnt at a stake after it's hung from a tree. This week in Rufflecast, we're going to be talking about a whole bunch of fun things, but we're going to start off with my very favorite segment, Sweet or Sheet, where we decide if things are sweet or if they're sheet. Can we
You're
get
sheet.
Can Soman play our intro music?
We have intro music?
Sing it.
Sheet, 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 sheet.
I wasn't told there was an intro music.
That's the song. That's the one I want. I'm recording. So I know I spent that on you. I never told you. I'm recording that exact clip, and that is now the intro to Sweet or Sheet. Okay. I wasn't told to have any songs. When you were singing the sheet part, it sounded a lot like the Auto-Tune the Room remix. The movie Room, yeah, you
know. I am unfamiliar with that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. We did it, guys. All right. So for Sweet or Sheet, I'm going to read off a news headline. I'm going to tell you a little bit about it. I'm going to go to the lady first because of quality. And then I'll go to our AI-generated robot because non-gender identifying robots matter too. Hashtag all genders matter. And we're going to find out if they think things are sweet or if they're sheet. Now, very first, we all love nostalgia. We love The Lion King. We loved The Jungled Book. We loved The Little Mermaid. But did we love The Pinocchio'd? Pinocchio is coming back with a brand new movie, about time. The first movie came out in a very long time ago, and the new movie will be a mixture of CG, computer-generated animation, as well as live action. And it's going to be directed by the all-star director of Paddington 2, Paul King. Now, is that sweet or is that sheet? Soman, we're going to you first.
But I'm not the lady. You said the lady first.
Yeah, but I go.
Yeah, you're the lady.
Yeah, you're the lady.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
I think because you have less privilege as an Asian woman than she does.
I don't know. I wanted the Guillermo del Toro, like, creepy stop motion Pinocchio.
Sam Mendes was supposed to do it as well, which is even weirder. He directed Skyfall, James Bond.
I have not seen any Paddington films.
They are apparently amazing, like really, really great. And
really, isn't he a bear that gets lost in a rain or something?
Yeah, I remember.
He's a childhood treasure.
Yeah, I remember really liking him as a kid. I was going to say, I liked him a lot.
Corduroy Bear is a childhood treasure. I don't know this Paddington fucker.
Oh, you only watch Canadian-made content, you son of a bitch?
Yes, as mandated by the CRTC.
That's why when everyone goes like,
is a treasure.
Hey, do you like that movie Cujo? And you're like, oh, I love The Littlest Hobo. That's the closest thing we got to an angry dog. You wore a bandana and solve crimes, little God. You know, actually, true story, The Littlest Hobo is the reason why we got a German Shepherd. because I love the shit of that show. And when that show ended, I fucking apparently it ended like 6 years before I knew it. But that I was watching reruns on CBC.
And that was me with Lassie.
Oh, really? Yeah, that's another one. I loved Lassie as a kid, and then they're like, these were done in the 50s. Like, this show is over. They're not making it anymore.
Yeah, it's like, this is the best show that was ever made. And the Benji movies,
yes,
classic.
And like, even
I love that damn dog.
They used to play a lot of 50s stuff because they were like public domain, and so we'd watch Little House. My sister would watch Little House on Prairie. I'd watch Lassie and shit like that. And then one day I was like, man, we saw the final episode of like Little House on the Prairie, which is weird and depressing, and we should spend an entire episode talking about that. And we asked our parents, like, hey, when there's gonna be more? And I'm like, I don't give a shit, but I guess she cares. And like, no, these shows are done. Like, they were done a long time ago, and when they're done forever. They're gone. You can consider them dead. And I'm like, there could be a nicer way to say this to children, but okay, I guess. You dicks.
Cold hard facts.
Okay, so you're Soman, go back to what you're saying, because I did what I usually do.
I'm not familiar with Paddington, so I don't know about how this would turn out. I'm not super excited. I don't like live action adaptations of fairy tales that have been done as Disney movies.
You didn't like Cinderella or Beauty and the Beasted?
There was a Cinderella movie?
Yeah, there was that was the first one. The first big remake was this really like gorgeously shot, like it was very colorful and pretty Cinderella movie that I did not watch.
Are you sure you don't mean the film Enchanted?
Yeah. No,
there's a couple Cinderella
movies. The Cinderella movie with that girl who is an actress.
Lily James.
Sasha Gray?
Cersei Lily Ronan? James. Lily James, that's her name. No, that's not her.
Wait. Yeah, Lily James was in one of them.
Really? Oh, yeah, Lily James. Yes, she was. Yes. I thought Lily James was someone else. But I was wrong. Lily James is this. Oh, she looks nice there.
I swear there was another one. But maybe it was called something else. No, that was Snow White that I'm thinking.
Yeah, there's a Snow White one. We were in a movie podcast, you guys. You should know these things.
Snow White and the Huntsman?
Oh,
no,
yeah.
No. It's the one with, fuck, what's her name?
Mirror.
Yeah.
Mirror.
Yeah, Lily Collins. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, so Lily James, who is Harry Potter's mom.
Yeah.
She's also in Pride and Prejudice. Know who I know her as? Deborah from Baby Driver. She was the waitress. She's adorable in that. She does such a good job in that movie. Oh, she was also in, obviously, Downton Abbey as Lady Rose McClare. Oh, God, I love that show.
Obviously.
She was such a pain in the ass, though. She was a really shitty cousin to Lady Sybil. Like, I don't know. Just her going out. But I like that she had a black boyfriend. We're getting pretty deep on this. But she's great. She was Cinderella. That movie sucked dick. And, yeah, I get why you would hate it. So you're just not looking forward to it? You think it's a sheet?
It's probably going to be sheet. Like, I can understand why normies might be excited, but, like, I don't know.
Those normies.
Okay, and Miss Kayla, how do you feel about it?
Honestly, I was never a huge Pinocchio fan, so I don't really give a shit.
Wow. So you're okay with them just making another one? It doesn't, like, affect your child at all?
No, I mean, if they made other movies and fuck them up, maybe, but Pinocchio, I don't know. I think it's going to be bad. Like, I don't think it's going to be very good. And I don't like the mixing and the matching. I don't know. I feel like they're trying to destroy every Disney movie by making it a live action, and it's not necessary.
Isn't overall Pinocchio's story, like, you know, outside of the puppet thing, like, just about orphans being kidnapped and like, abused?
I'm pretty, you know what, the only thing I know about Pinocchio is from Shrek Ever After, which is the only Shrek film I've seen. So, I I'm just kidding.
I got no strength to hold me down. Beep, beep, beep. You're welcome.
Thank you.
And how hard it is to be a single dad as well.
Yeah, I think it must. I think it was about not lying, you dumb motherfucker. That's all it was about.
It's about not lying and not being able to have children, so you get a doll.
And fairies and shit.
So you lie to yourself. Ha ha.
Jiminy Cricket's pretty cool, though.
Yeah, he made a lot of sexual jokes. Okay, so for you, you think this is... Sheet. We gave him a sheet. I'm going to tell you why this is sweet news. Because Pinocchio is probably the best of those fucking movies. Those goddamn Disney movies.
No.
And I'm gonna tell you why. I'm gonna tell you why. Because Peter Pan sucks. Peter Pan's a shit movie with no goddamn moral. Snow White is creepy and weird. If there's seven dudes living with a chick and she was tall and had huge tits and dark hair, guess what's gonna happen? She gonna get fucked. Bambi was a boy. I found that out in 2009. Bambi is
you
a boy.
Say nothing bad about Bambi, you little.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Next time, get a boy to narrate the fucking voice instead of a girl. If you want the character to be a boy. Sleeping Beauty. Okay, I'll tell you what. Every boy who likes Sleeping Beauty, put them on a list. Because they would date rape a chick. Okay? Those are a danger to society.
That's a bad one.
They think that's romance.
I hated Sleeping Beauty and Snow White as a child.
And I guarantee you, every single stoner or like, know that person? Like, I like drug addicts. I think they're fun. But you know that one drug addict who's gone too far into like LSD and meth and shit, and now he can't put together sentences that make sense, and they're either genius or insane.
Right now.
Oh, how dare you! Well,
clearly only an alcoholic.
Yeah, obviously. Well, no, I don't really drink.
No, I know.
Dumbo. Dumbo is their favorite movie. That movie is for crazy people who see as 101 Dalmatians. Know who likes 101 Dalmatians?
Furries.
Furries.
How dare you?
Furries love 101 Dalmatians. And that movie's stupid too. That movie's a movie about a person who wants to kill puppies. I don't want to watch that.
Yeah, but the puppies live.
Oh, spoiler alert!
Yeah, now. And then they add another one in the sequel. There's another puppy.
Yeah, we don't
puppy.
Care. Listen. Sequels don't count.
Hey, his name is Patch.
You leave Patches alone and he doesn't get added in the second one.
Pinocchio is a brilliant film where he goes on this epic fucking adventure. He learns what it is to be human. He learns about morality, and he used the allegory of lying and truth as the allegory of what it is to be human. And we talk about, you know, ending your life alone. Jiminy Cricket is a brilliant, well thought out character who's super funny and makes really inappropriate jokes that went way over my head as a kid, but are dark as fuck. This story is amazing, and if done right, this movie can be amazing. But they got the guy who did Paddington's, which is a fucking family movie, which means they're not going to make some weird twisted secret of Nim shit that this movie deserves. The Guillermo version.
I'd be okay with.
Alice in Wonderland is actually the superior movie.
Oh my god. I know for all the fans at home, he's not talking about the animated version. He's talking about the Johnny Depp version.
No,
I'm not talking
about our AI bot was born out of a Johnny Depp think tank where they're trying to CG. All the times they have to CG render Johnny Depp and his voice for the Pirates of Caribbean movies because he's too busy beating his wife to be filming. That AI became sentient, and that's who Raymond is today.
Sword in the Stone, actually. I take it back.
Fuck, that is. That's a dope movie,
dude.
That's a
good, dude.
That's a good fucking movie. And let's not forget the most jack-offable movie of all time, Little Mermaid.
I mean, The Great Mouse Detective, actually, because...
Well, I just mean Flotsam and Jetsam. I mean, there's literally no character sexier in all of the Disney mythos than Flotsam and then Jetsam. Okay, so fuck Pinocchio, apparently, is what we're going with. Pinocchio is shit across the board. You guys convinced me halfway through my argument I was wrong. So that was pretty good. All right, Netflix is cashing in on nostalgia again, and they're releasing Lost in Space. Bah, 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 bah. The classic.
Oh, you mean that grandpa show?
How dare you? The classic reimagining, the reimagining of the classic 1960s science fiction series set 30 years in the future, where colonization of space is now reality. I think the original show was set in like 1990. Like, it was like, they were really like aggressive about like, in the year 1990, we'll be living in space and colonizing shit. Anyways, click on that link. There is a trailer attached. We are going to pop through it a little bit and give our thoughts.
Ah, open, you bitch.
Whoa, that's what he said, and it was hashtag me too.
I'm just getting a picture.
Oh, I got banned from Reddit. Did you guys know that? I got banned from Reddit for a bit. Did I talk about that?
You got banned from Reddit?
Yeah.
What'd you do?
I got a shadow ban for one day from RMMA because I made a post that said entering the cage is not consent, and it showed one fighter named Yoel Romero kissing another fighter named Luke Rockhold against his will.
Did he actually kiss him against his will?
Yes, he did. And on it, it says hashtag me too.
Why did he kiss him against his will?
Because it was after a fight and Luke just got knocked out and he just stood up. He was still bleary. And then this Cuban fighter who's crazy, Yoel Romero, goes over, hugs him and is like, I love you, Luke. I love you. You're beautiful. I love you. And he keeps kissing.
On the cheek?
Yeah.
Or on the lip?
On the cheek, but Luke kept turning his face away and he cut him on the lips once. So I screenshotted it and I posted it, hashtag me too, to Reddit. Got banned. Bullshit.
It is relevant.
Yeah, and that's also funny. And it's not making fun of the Me Too movement. It's actually helping it.
It's making fun of this crazy Cuban who thinks kissing random people is okay.
Yeah, there's no consent there. It's crazy. All right, we all ready?
Yep.
3, 2, 1, blast off. Oh, look at that.
Kind evolves.
Let's see. He looks just like the kid. Holy shit. Oh, I'm super nostalgic for this, by the way. I know I'm talking over all the dialogue, but like I have all, like, Robbie the Robot's my favorite character of all time. I have a bunch of collections of him. I have like diecast versions of him. I've gone to collector stores all over the world looking for shit for him. I'm a big fan. Big fan of robots and shit. Oh, this looks like a commercial for an energy company.
As long as it keeps us safe.
Maybe it is.
I don't want to watch. She cute. I don't want to watch a bunch of like. Oh, why is there one random black character? You were in Lost in Space with them before. Are you the doctor?
No. This is the start of their plan to leave them on the moon. You have to test one. You have to see if one can get away. Because if one can get away, it's not worth it.
So the Robinsons are just taking their house nigger to toss up on the moon? That's what the Lost in Space series is about?
Now.
This looks great, maybe. I just saw a bunch of fucking stock footage from YouTube, so I don't know. That sounds great! Oh, we get to hear
there's
Robbie.
There's no dumb robot, though.
No, you heard him at the end. He said Danger Will Robinson.
Yeah, but I didn't see him.
Yeah, I cannot wait to see him. Like I said, I'm a something about his design aesthetic and stuff. I just was a huge fan. I really love the series growing up. I think it's like Swiss Family Robinson in space. I thought that was all really interesting. And yeah, I'm excited. Random black younger girl, I don't care. Really wish there'd be a doctor there. Not sure there isn't. But aside from that, yeah, great stuff. How do you guys feel about it? Sweeter Sheet, let's start with you, Kayla.
I haven't seen the original, but...
Okay, well, let me go back, because I know that this, like, the trailer didn't give us enough to really be excited about.
Yeah.
Let me say this. Are you okay with Netflix cashing in on nostalgia like this?
Totally.
Yeah, you're okay with them remaking all these old 60s shows?
If they do them well, I mean, it'd be nice. It's not like anybody else is coming up with new ideas anymore, because I should just let go of that.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of original ideas that could have gone on, but they're just remaking this instead. You know, my TV shows get turned down a year? 5. That's so many. No, apparently there's going to be over 300 scripted television shows this year, which is pretty insane, because how the fuck can you watch all that content?
Probably will.
But are you okay with you're okay with the cashing in on nostalgia? That does not bother you.
Yeah, I don't know, like, if I can see a preview with more information in it, I mean, I like nerdy stuff, so I'll probably like it.
I'm taking that as a sweet. Soman, how you feel, buddy?
Is there a sheet sweet neutral?
No, you have to choose.
Yeah, to choose. It's Sophie's choice. News is either really inherently good or bad.
If you choose wrong, you die.
Sheet?
Ooh.
Are you not a fan of these nostalgia crazes?
See, I don't care for Lost in Space. If it was something old I cared about, maybe. But what do I care about that's old that hasn't already... Like, there already is a new Star Trek and it sucks.
Some people get really bothered about them constantly remaking old stuff. But it doesn't sound like that bothers either of you very much.
It bothers me a little, but not in like, oh, this is being desecrated. It's more like you could be making something else. you could be doing something better with your time.
Well, we're taking it as a sheet. You heard it here. That's a bunch of shitty news. This is going real well, guys.
Now, I mean, I'm sure you will enjoy it, and that's all that matters.
That's true. That's very true. Now, I am a fan of bad movies to a certain degree, and then there's bad movies that I love. People like to say bad movies that they love. Examples are Gremlins 2 is something that's very common. How dare you. It's a shit movie.
Great.
Schindler's List, a really terrible movie. Like, come on, not even in it was in black and white. It's 1998. Get fucking color cameras, you cheap ass.
Wow.
You know, there's a lot of ones, but one of my favorite bad movies is Dungeons and Dragons. And I've seen all three of them, and I think they're horrible, and I love them. And
there's three?
Yeah, there's two direct-to-video ones.
I saw the first one. I have it on VHS.
So do I. It's a great movie, and it stars me. And it's one of the
Doesn't the Black Thief die?
Yes, he does. Anytime Marlon Wayans dies in a movie, I give it an extra point on my rating meter. But I star in that movie, and I think it was a silly movie, but I did a pretty good job in it, I think. How do you guys feel? Anyone?
No idea. No idea.
You haven't seen it?
No idea what you're talking about. I have no clue.
Okay. Well, Thora Birch was in it. Dungeons and Dragons, the movie. Who else did it have in it in that movie?
I like the Community episode.
Yeah, Advanced Dungeons and Dragons is the best episode. I agree.
The episode is great.
Mm-hmm. God, what was the bad guy's name? Jeremy Irons plays a bad guy.
Jeremy Irons.
And, ooh, I love Jeremy
Irons. And a guy who kind of looks like me named Justin Whalen plays me. And therefore, I am the lead character. Do you know why? Because anyone who plays Dungeons and Dragons becomes the lead character. And that leads me to this. There's a new Dungeons
and Dragons. Look up this.
So, okay, this is what pissed me off. Dungeons and Dragons inherently as a movie makes no fucking sense. Because Dungeons and Dragons is a system where you build stories. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's like Notepad being a movie. No, Notepad's where you go to write the movie, you dumb motherfuckers.
If they adapted a specific campaign, like Eberron, for example.
Yeah, or like Dark Sun or something, or Ravenloft, or, you know, one of those. Great. But they're not. They're just like general. They're just going to generally do dungeons and or dragons. Neither are guaranteed in Dungeons or Dragons. I'm just going
to
say.
Why not adapt the animated show from the 80s? Because he has to give the horn back to Uni.
So the director of Robot Chicken, Moral Oral, which is a really fucking weird, wonderful show I suggest everyone watches, the Lego movie and Lego Batman movie, is now directing the new Dungeons and or possibly Dragons movie set for 2021 release. Are you guys, is this sweet news or is this sheet news? Soman, how are you feeling?
Hasbro is involved.
Yes.
And Chris McKay, like, is this CG or live? Like,
it's going to be a mixture.
I don't know.
Dungeons and Dragons movie from the guy who did the Lego movie.
Sweet, because then at least it will know how shitty it is, if it is.
Fair enough. All right. And Kayla, how you feeling?
I'm going to give it a sweet because technology and stuff.
So do you like Dungeons and Dragons? Like, have you played it growing up or?
I've played it once. I'm actually probably playing it next month sometime. But yeah, no, I like nerdy things, so I feel like I'd probably enjoy it if it's done well.
I
love that episode of Community. It was one of my favorites. So
yeah, if I actually did a longer episode of that episode of Community for the movie, I'd be happy. There's just so many variables. It's hard to be excited. Yeah. But the director's good. I mean, Lego movie's great and Lego Batman's fantastic. I love Moral Oral. It's dark and weird. Robot Chicken's fun. I don't know how he'll do action, though, because, like, is he going to try to make his version of Reign of Fire or his version of Star Wars? Or his version of Willow. You know what I mean? Like, there's so many ways it could go about this. And I think he's leaning the Willow way. And if he is, I'm actually super excited because I want something just to be fucking fun. Make a fun D&D movie.
Why not?
Do to D&D what you did to Jurassic Park by ruining it and make it fun.
Rude.
So I'm going to say this is sweet news because we need more sweetness in our life. Okay, this one.
We do.
Danny James Boyle. He is a director and Arturo visionary. People might know him from directing the opening of the London 2012 Olympics, but I know him for smaller projects like Slumdog Millionaire, Trainspotting, 28 Days Later, 127 Hours, possibly more number of movies I'm forgetting off the top of my head. But he's easily like one of my favorite directors. Like every single one of his movies are different. 28 Days Later is my favorite zombie film. Slumdog Millionaire was, you know, really beautiful and fantastic.
So good.
I don't know. He always does something very interesting. I mean, Trainspotting obviously is fucking genius. What other Danny Boyle movies am I forgetting off the top of my head? 127 Hours. If someone told me that you're going to have James Franco trapped underneath a rock for 2 hours, I would have slapped him in the face repeatedly until they died. But when they told me Danny Boyle was doing it, I was like, okay, he's the one person on the planet I'll trust to make this movie somewhat interesting, maybe. And it was. Oh, it was
Steve
okay.
Jobs film.
Yeah, let's not talk about that.
Was that bad?
No, yeah, we're not allowed to talk about that legally.
For legal reasons.
Legal reasons, we can't talk about the Steve Jobs movie ever again. No, we get kicked off of iTunes every time we talk bad about Steve Jobs. He's listening to us right now. He also directed The Beach, which is weird. Oh, and one of my favorite sci-fi movies of all time, Sunshine. So needless to say, great, great, great director. He is in talks to direct James Bond, Numero Vincenque. James Bond 25. Kayla, does this tickle your nether regions the way it tickles mine?
Honestly, no. I mean, he's a great director, but I just don't give a fuck about James Bond.
You know what? Sorry. When you're leaning on meh, we're going to sheet from now on.
When I'm leaning on what?
Meh.
Meh?
Meh. If it's meh, I don't care. It's sheet. Because if it's not, it's okay. Not yeah, sweet, we have to define. Like, things have to be defined good as sweet. But why aren't
It's definitely not. What?
Are you not a Danny Boyle / James Bond fan?
No, I haven't watched the last few James Bond movies because I get to a point where I just feel like it's all the fucking same shit. I am a fan of him. I mean, he seemed like the movies that I've seen that he's directed are great, and I'm sure it's going to be great. And I actually, I might watch it if he directs it.
Ooh, okay.
How about that?
That's pretty. I think you're leaning on sweet now.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think cool. You convinced me by just being an asshole.
Oh wow, that's usually how.
Story of our lives.
Yeah, that's our entire relationship in a nutshell. Okay, Soman, how about you, bud? How you feeling?
I'm not really interested in James Bond.
I find a lot of the themes of sweet and sheet is that I get really excited about movie news and there's literally no one else who gives a fuck about it.
Who's gonna be the new James Bond though? Like, is it still that fuck-faced guy?
There's a good possibility it'll be Daniel Craig, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's what they're saying. He's gonna come back. He just wants to fuck with everybody.
He's great,
though. Like, despite how indifferent I am to James Bond, I believe the promise of a Bond movie is dictated by whoever is portraying Bond as opposed to its director and which story they adapt. So.
Wow. That's deep. So you don't think the director has enough influence on it, hey?
I think the demographic Bond targets
me
makes the director's quality neutral above a certain like mark of skill.
Oh yeah, no, that makes sense. But you're wrong.
Yeah. I was like,
yeah, you're 100% wrong though. That's interesting you'd say that though, because first of all, the Bond movies are all like, even recently, they're incredibly stylized. Like, you can't argue Skyfall is not like a really brilliantly shot film, or Casino Royale isn't like directed fantastically. Like, they do a good job of combining style and substance on the most recent films, Pierce Brosnan era notwithstanding. And does that mean what I think it means? Did I use that right?
What?
Notwithstanding.
Yes, you used that correctly.
Okay. Because the Pierce Brosnan movies were bad, is what I meant. Those are bad, but the rest are good. And they all have a certain level of style and flair and finesse and technical prowess by the directors to be done. I mean, there's no arguing that all the directors who've worked on the films are reasonably talented directors for the most part. And even the last two, obviously, he's an Oscar-winning director. He's a very, very good director. It's not the movies I wanted or not the story I want told or how I wanted it told. And that was my problems with the films. But like the style and the way it was shot and like the director's aspect of it, I think is always gorgeous in Bond movies. And when you pair up a juggernaut like Danny Boyle, whose visuals are not only stunning, but he can tell a story really well, which is what the James Bond movies were lacking, I think I think we got ourselves a real winner, possibly for the best Bond of all time.
And are you going with Sweet?
I'm going with Sweet. Just because I like watch Casino Royale and then watch Quantum of Solace. They are like such different movies. And I would agree with your point. Your points are astute to a point where a lot of these are schlocky action flicks. And I think that this logic would still apply during the Pierce Brosnan era. And I would 100% agree with you. But I think Sam Mendes and team have done something pretty spectacular with Bond, whether or not I fucking enjoy the movies or not. And I think that Casino Royale is the best Bond movie so far, and that was Daniel Craig's first movie. And if Bond 25 is his last movie, Danny Boyle is the one to make a better movie than Casino Royale. So
if you told me Soderbergh got it, I would be slightly excited.
Yeah, but then you know what we get with Soderbergh, though? It'd be fun. I don't want a fun Bond movie. Fuck those movies.
You want dark and emotional.
Yeah, fun ruins movies. You know what doesn't have any fun in it? 28 Days Later, and it's great. You know what else doesn't have?
I mean,
yeah.
I had fun when, like, those soldiers jumped that lady.
What is wrong with you? That's 28 weeks. Okay, so Soman, we're taking that as a sheet from you, a sweet from me and Kay. Now here's another one. This is kind of the
same. This is painting me as I hate everything.
Yeah.
I don't.
No,
me a little bit too.
You guys are shitty people. This is what I'm trying to do. I've specifically picked stories that characterizes you as shitty people so I can use this as an excuse to be like, hey, we should fucking pick on these guys. It's like being mean to them online. You know what? This next one falls in the same category of no one's going to give a shit, but I'm going to talk about it just a little bit. Miranda Otto from Lord of the Rings is joining Sabrina the Teenage Witch, the Netflix series. It's being redone.
Oh, God.
Is that, I think that's a sheet for me. I'm a hard sheet on that. I don't know about how you guys
do. Hard sheet. Who's wait, Miranda Sally Otto? Draper's in it?
Miranda Otto is an amazing actress. But
she is, but that's going to be a shit show.
I don't wonder.
Who is she?
Miranda Otto is the one who played Eowyn. Where, remember in Lord of the Rings, the third one, when the Witch King of Angmar is like, come at me, bro. And then she rips off her helmet. She's like, I am no bro. And then she kills him.
No.
Vagina power.
I think that was the exact quote. But
I've only watched half that film.
Of the last Lord of the Rings?
Yeah.
Oh my God, it sucks we have to end the podcast this way. Well, that's it for Awfulcast. We're canceling the fucking show because our AI apparently didn't watch Lord of the Goddamn Rings.
I watched the first two and like 20, 30, 40 minutes of the last one.
It's been so long. You have no excuse to have not finished that.
Not only that, have you ever tried to fuck a chick?
I chose to not to. That's not, I'm not giving an excuse.
You went out of your way to not complete the most beautiful story of all time. You know what the first episode of Rafflecast was?
The most beautiful story of all time is actually
the Bible. I agree.
Yes. I was going to say Battle Royale, but okay.
Oh, that's a good story. The very first episode of Rafflecast was about Lord of the Rings. Just a heads up is why I did it. So have fun dealing with that tonight. I'm sure it's going to hang over you forever.
Shame Ray, on your name.
Engineer Ray, because we have to change your name every 30 minutes. Did you watch Sabrina the Teenage Witch growing up? Was that like a thing for you?
Yeah, I
I enjoyed it.
She helped me through pre-puberty.
I learned one thing I learned from that show that I remember vividly is that there's a midget that really was in love with her, and he was in like the witch realm area, and she wanted his help. So in exchange, she had to hold his hand for 10 seconds, which is adorable and family friendly. So they did. And he whips out his cock and starts beating her with it. And like, no. So she holds
on. Wrong show.
Yeah.
I feel like you're talking about Charmed.
No. So she holds on to this midget's hand, and then when he's counting, he goes, one hippopotamus, two hippopotamus. And I'm like, Jesus, motherfucker, hippopotamus is the longest goddamn word ever, and it's silly. If I'm counting something down, I'm going to use that instead of Mississippi, and I always have since.
Oh, yeah. You're gross.
Why?
No. Go with one Excalifragilistic expialidocious.
Yeah, but that's an odd...
Only if you like the girl.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm not really on a countdown to hold a girl's hand very often. I'm just saying specifically when I count things down, I like doing hippopotamus because it's a pretty reasonable time frame to actually get a second.
Yeah, why count down? Just cut off the hand and you can have it forever. You don't need to do no countdown.
Oh. You're right. Let's get back on necromancy.dating.
The darkest timeline.
So listen, I don't think Sabrina's Teenage Witch should be remade. I think it should just be extended like Fuller House, where now she's just the auntie and they have the same shitty
That's
fucking
a good
show.
Idea.
Yeah.
Remember that show she did with Joey?
Yes, I do. It was called Melissa and Joey. And I was like, you guys really aren't even trying, are you? And they're like their first line is like, casual improv sitcom line. Standard response with a sarcastic twist. And then canned laughter. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, oh my God, it's bad.
People will watch it because of their names. We don't need to make it good.
So you remember that the girl that was mean to her in high school, they ended up becoming friends. Sorry, her best friend who was meek, right? And yeah. She ended up becoming like a big badass and then became a witch too later on in the series. And she also played Big Red in Bring It On. I don't know if anyone remembers that. Yeah, okay, good. Thank God you're here.
I answered way too fast.
This is why you're here, because I've been doing this with men for 60 episodes and didn't get a single fucking, oh yeah, I know what you're talking about when I bring up anything like this. So thank you. We've justified all of this. You're worth every cent.
I got your back.
Yeah, you were worth that sex trafficker we bought you off of. What, too dark?
A little bit.
So her and... Because she hasn't been doing anything. Her and Melissa Joan Hart should fucking be the aunts to a new generation. And they're lesbians now because that's okay.
And that's what you would want to see.
Yeah. And we can get Salem the cat back, because why would he die? He's a fucking immortal cat. He's a male best wizard trapped in the cat's body. And then you could get cameos from the other two because they're still around.
Oh, for sure. They're not doing anything but like game shows and shit.
Mm-hmm. And there's room for like a Disney Channel style magical kids comedy. Like, I think there's room for that. But
this sounds like it would be a disaster the same way Girl Meets World is a disaster.
Girl Meets World is not a disaster for the people that like Girl Meets World. Same with Fuller House. Fuller House checks off a lot of boxes for a lot of people.
And it's never watched Full House, so I can't make a judgment on that.
Like the original?
Yeah, I never watched that.
Your childhood makes me sad.
What? I watched good shows like Louis Anderson's Life with Louis.
That was a great show. Oh my God, that was such a fun. I remember he used to take his goldfish on walks and hit like a little wheelbarrow, and they'd like be like, why is your goldfish so big and fat like you? And he's like, I feel like donuts and like chili fries and shit. Oh, that show was brilliant. Oh man, that's why you're cool.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Can you now, when I was like gushing about the show and like revealing my love for it, I got no support from you. I got no follow-up, no backup. You sat there in silence and be like, what fucking show are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about. You brought it up, Ray, you fucking son of a bitch. What did you love about life with Louis, or living with Louis, or Louis's life?
What I love about life with Louis is that, first of all, just the concept that Louis Anderson was big enough at some point to get an animated show about ostensibly himself.
But a kid show.
A kid show.
Yeah.
When like fucking, what was he on? The Feud or Wheel? Whichever one.
I don't think he was on. I don't know what he was on.
Price is Right.
Yeah, that guy.
Louis Anderson. He's actually amazing in baskets, by the way. But go on.
And also say something else.
Just that Louis... It is just about Louis Anderson being an awful loser, but like everyone in that show is a loser. Like his dad is a loser. He wasn't any good in the Vietnam War.
Yeah.
Like, wow. Oh, and my favorite episode is when Louis has to learn how to play chess and his dad is a secret chess champ, but he has to wear a mask to protect that he's not a fucking nerd.
Oh my god.
You guys are fucking nerds, though.
You can't get a cat. Cats lick the butter. It's a line from the show, and it's exactly how it was delivered. If there's any...
You know, Louis Anderson was blackmailed a while ago for gay sex.
You cut out there for a second, so the listeners are going to hear, did you know that Louis Anderson was black for gay sex?
He was blackmailed for gay sex, though.
Like, someone wanted to fuck him, or he had...
He approached someone and on, like, a cruise ship, and that someone was like... And then later they were like, so give me money or I'll tell everyone you wanted my dick.
Whatever. Tell people I wanted your dick. I don't give a fuck.
No, Louis Anderson paid like $250,000 to this guy over like 10 years.
And yet it still came out.
God, those things never work. Same thing happened with Oscar De La Hoya. God rest his soul. He's still alive. But he's a cross dresser. And he was like getting freaky with a prostitute, and he did a bunch of coke and shit. And then she took pictures of him, and they extorted millions out of him over years, and then released the pictures when he stopped paying. Like, eventually, it was like, you know, he did this for 20 years, paying them millions of dollars. Like, it's fucking insane. Also, if you extorted $1 million out of a guy, because you know what he was scared of? He runs Golden Boy, and he thought that macho attitude is like what people are coming for, and he thought this would ruin it and ruin his boxing career and shit. Turned out no one gave a fuck. Everyone's all like, yeah, you're the best boxer ever. We don't fucking care. Speaking of the best boxers ever, there's been a lot of video game movies over the year. Super Mario Brothers, Mortal Kombat, the Oscar award-winning Mortal Kombat Annihilation. But we haven't gotten one that fans have been asking for since 1980. And that is Sonic the Motherfucking Hedgehog, directed by Deadpool director Tim Miller. Soman. Soman. How you feeling? Oh, sorry. Deadpool director Tim Miller is executive producing. Jeff Fowler, who has the worst last name ever, is directing.
What else has he done?
He's born on my birthday. That's weird. He did a short called Gopher Broke, which is it was an actual Fold movie. It was a CG movie called Gopher Broke. He also did the visual effects for Where the Wild Things Are, and that's it. Yeah, he did a short. That's all he's done.
Is this like full CG?
Yeah, it has to be. I mean, what do you do, a live action? Oh my god, it is a live action movie. Oh no.
Cap their faces at least.
It is a live action feature with CG.
I'm going to be Tails.
What?
It is live action with CG.
A hybrid CG animated live action. Oh.
Oh, it's live action. Oh god. Oh Jesus. God damn Joseph. What?
That's why I was like, how?
Are we going to see Sonic running through New York? Like, what the fuck is going to happen?
Yeah.
Toronto disguises New York.
Because, we haven't had, like, a Super Mario Brothers the movie of this generation. The movie for this generation.
No, we don't.
Italian accent when you say it. Super Mario Brothers Super Show!
Spicy meatball.
Whoa,
racist. My favorite lines in that movie are, I'm Mario, and this is Luigi Mario. How many Marios are there between the two of you? Three.
I like the elevator scene is my favorite. Dancing.
I like it when the black lady held off a room full of Goombas so they could take their super boots and jump through the window. God, that movie sucks so bad.
But it's so fun.
What
to
the
watch.
Fuck was Nintendo thinking by just giving free reign to an unknown director? Oh, here's $180 million and you've never directed anything before? Just take it. Do whatever you want. We're not even going to look over what you do. That's what that movie is.
But maybe it was exactly what they wanted at the time.
Oh, it was truly the worst fucking experience I've ever had watching. No, you know what? As a kid, I loved it.
Yeah, what the fuck are you talking about?
Did not get it. I was like, this weird, dark, dystopian, fucking Blade Runner-y looking shit. I don't get it, and I don't like it. But John Leguizamo's in it, and he's cool.
He was and the Bob best. Hoskins and Dennis Hopper.
Yeah, Dennis Hopper was the bat. He was King Koopa. Dennis Hopper was King Gizzard. Anything he won't do. All right, Ray, let's start it off. Sweeter sheet.
Sweet.
You're excited?
I stand by the fact we need an iconic shitty video game movie.
Like a new one?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know, so I can quote it endlessly.
So you want this, you're actually banking on this movie being bad, despite the fact that Tim Miller from Deadpool is executive producing.
Executive producer doesn't really mean a lot.
It can mean anything. I executive produced a film and I did everything.
Yeah, but it can also mean, hey, I gave you some money to buy lunches for everyone.
That is true, yeah, you can kind of get that. But listen, when they give a brand new director like this a bunch of money to do a big franchise like this, they're not taking it lightly. They just don't want to do the heavy lifting, and they're going to be breathing down his neck constantly. I honestly believe that.
Who is overseeing this, like, Sega of America? Or, like, Sega Japan?
I think they...
Sega of America created Sonic Boom.
Oh, touche. But there's also The Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog. That was really good.
Yeah, like 30 years ago.
Yeah, but that was also 1993, and it was also really good. It was a great show, actually. Really built up the mythology. Nice side stories with Tails!
Yeah, what's her name? She had like a cyborg arm. Yeah, that chick was hot.
Oh, the fox?
No, she was Bunny Fox-like. Rabot.
Oh, yes. Yeah, right. I was hoping it was the fox. How many people got into furries because of that?
Oh, God.
I don't know. I think there were three big furry booms, like, pre-2000.
So what are they? Obviously, Space Jam. Space Jam made me a furry.
Okay.
Lola Rabbit turned 100 million men to furries.
Five furry booms. Robin Hood, Sonic, Space Jam, Pokemon.
They don't anthropomorphize the animals in Pokemon. They only say their fucking name except for Meowth.
Yeah, but
and Mewtwo for some reason.
You ain't seen like some Mewtwo dick art.
Yeah, I mean, inspiring fan art's one thing, but inspiring furries, that's a bit of a stretch. Because there's no like real relationships between the animals and the people that kids can misconstrue as sexual. Maybe. I mean, Ash does keep all of them around his balls. Anyway.
Okay, fine. Replace Pokemon with street sharks. I don't know. There's probably something that could go there, but yeah.
Oh, my God. Yes. Street sharks. That's the one. That is the furry revolution we're waiting for. No, that's the aquatic furry revolution.
Animorphs.
Animorphs. Yep.
Samurai Pizza Cats.
Oh, yes. Samurai Pizza Cats resulted in the death of thousands of cats that were raped because of that pink cat. Maybe I just rub my dick against it. It'll feel nice. And then it does feel nice. Then the cat tries to get away and you try to restrain it. But the only way to restrain a cat is to kill it. And
you have way too many details about this.
I mean, I've gone through a lot of cats.
It's worrying me.
So I'm going to take this as a sweet sheet. I don't even know how to take it. I'm taking it as a sweet from you. But you like it for the wrong reasons. That worries me. Kayla, how do you feel?
I give it a sheet. A big old stinking pile of sheet.
What? Why?
Because how is it going to work? It's going to look stupid. It's going to look fake. And I'm not going to like it.
Oh.
If it's animated, I'd be like, fuck yes. But it's not animated.
I'm sorry. A fucking CG movie about a supersonic blue hedgehog might look fake to you who collects gold rings. Oh, no. As opposed to all those other supersonic blue hedgehogs in nature.
It's going to look weird.
Well, yeah, because it's CG.
It's different from a cartoon and you draw it and it's, you know, make believe. And now they're going to try and make it look realistic and it's going to look stupid.
So I'm in seller on this. I know you take my side on this.
But he only likes it because it's going to be bad.
Yeah, okay. But he likes bad things.
How is it going to be like a combination? Is it going to be like Space Jam where like some characters are.
See, that I'll be okay with.
Or like Who Framed Roger Rabbit kind of thing.
Yeah. That I'd be okay with.
Yeah.
And by CG anime, they don't actually mean 3D CG animated. They didn't specify that.
Oh, that's true. He could be a 2D character that broke out to the real world like Pixels.
Mm-hmm.
And that I'd be okay with as well.
Really? Actually, like, the fact that there's any live action in this just pisses me off, because, like, one of the most beautiful things about Sonic was its worlds. Its worlds were every much a character as a character himself. And they can't be depicted using natural landscapes. Even really well-built sets cannot replicate something that, like, a really good work of CG could do.
What if they're adapting the Sonic anime?
There's a Sonic anime?
Sonic X. It was on 4Kids in, like, 2002.
I don't think I remember.
Gotta go fast.
Oh, yes. Fuck. I forgot
like right
about
after
that.
Kirby right back at you.
Kirby. I love Kirby. Kirby. This, the motherfucker. They tried to draw an anime and everything. I remember. You know, I don't think I watched it. Was it good?
Like, the original was good.
All right, well, I'm watching English the first one. I'm going to watch the first episode right now while we do this podcast.
Oh, my God.
Starts off on a night where they're looking over the water. There's a big cat, striped cat bunny with a yellow eye. That thing's kind of terrifying. Oh, now Dr. Robotnik's tower is coming up to life. Yeah, I'm not sure how much longer I should do that before you get pulled down. But I'm watching that first episode later. So you're saying sheep. Yeah.
Let me just show you this one image from it, though.
Sure, I'm excited. Well, should we wait in silence until we get that image?
No, it's right there.
Oh my. Okay.
All right. Hold on. Let me pull this up for the viewers at home. Oh God. This, Discord's being really finicky about this scrolling thing. There we go.
I guess
you're into SMS and M, huh? Oh dear. I mean, that's about as Japanese as it gets at that fucking point. Being creepy with racist. Like cats being racist and weird. That's about as Japanese as I could think it'd be. I saw one of those PewDiePie Blurtenderg, where he's not supposed to laugh, and a lot of them were just like incestuous anime clips, and I was like, God damn it, why? First of all, I kind of get the incest thing from Japanese people, because if everyone looks like your sister, you kind of have to be attracted to her in order to reproduce with someone, you know, of your own species. Yeah, because Asian peoples are different species. But I also get incredibly creeped out by how incredibly open they are about it. And it just doesn't – we've talked about this. It doesn't make a ton of sense to me. And it makes me super uncomfortable, and I don't like it. And it makes me like Japanese people like way less for some reason. Is that bad?
I mean, all cultures are beautiful.
Except for like Arabs, because they have like a really shitty culture where they stone women to death if they show an ankle.
I mean, all cultures are beautiful in their own way.
I mean, except for like the Maori, where they would crack open the skulls of anyone who visited them and ate their brains instead of communicating with them because they thought they could speak through them by eating their meat.
It's just got I so mean, dark.
You mean what?
Some cultures are less beautiful than others.
There it is. There you go.
That's you have me saying that now forever.
Final reader sheet, Jessica Chastain. We all know and love from Zero Dark Thirty and the Tree of Life. And what else has she been in recently?
So many things.
The Fappening.
Was she? I don't find her attractive. Like, hey, she's pretty. She's a very good looking lady. I am not sexually attracted to her whatsoever. Does that make sense?
I guess.
I'm against redheads.
No, I am super, super into redheads, to the point that it might be a real fetish of mine. Like, it is dangerous.
Thank God I dyed my hair then.
Oh, yeah, I mean.
Now I'm ugly, yes.
Sorry, by redheads I mean purely just the carpet. I could give a shit. They could be bold for all I fucking care. But red pubes, I'm all over that shit.
Oh hell yeah.
So Jessica Chastain, who has been in movies,
all of the movies.
You know something creepy is like when your girlfriend's little sister has red hair and she looks like your girlfriend but with red hair. And you like see her develop. That's it's hard to deal with that. Anyway, speaking of developing and learning about sexuality and young girls that are redheaded going through that,
nice.
The role of it is being taken over by Jessica Chastain. She's now it, not Beverly, the redhead girl. She's definitely the clown. No. She's taking on the role.
The clown has red hair.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, especially after that horrible job that what's-his-name did. I'm kidding. He was amazing. But Jessica Chastain in talks to take on the role of Beverly in the It sequel. I think she looks just like the girl. Although when I first saw the girl, I thought she looked exactly like Amy Adams. But Jessica Chastain looks like Amy Adams, so we're fine.
Yeah, they're all the same.
She's like a more anorexic Amy Adams. But I think Amy Adams is a better pick. But this girl is also like Jessica Chastain's also a really, really good pick. So, Kayla, how do you feel about that as a casting choice?
Sweet. I like her. She's a good actress.
She was awesome.
She does look like the other chick. That's weird.
She totally looks like Sophia Lillis. Soman, how do you feel?
I'll say sweet. But really, it's just they found a white lady with red hair. Like, what do you want?
I think it's okay. Wow. I think it's okay, but I'm going to give it a sheet because I agree with the same thing. Like, yeah, she's white and has red hair. But fucking Amy Adams looks like her even more. Like, she looks like Beverly. Yeah, but
maybe Amy Adams didn't want to do it.
Yeah, well, I wanted her to, and I don't care what the reasons are, and it's sheet for me. Fuck you. Seriously, though, I just finished It, the book, and holy fuck. So I started reading it like a year and a half ago, I think, and yeah, it's like 800 pages, but that's not like the reason why it took so long. I stopped, I read 3, 4, 5 chapters. I had to fucking take a break. So I read book one of Mistborn, and there's 7 books in these Mistborn trilogies, and they're in the 2 trilogies and a sequel and a mid book. And like they're big, dense, heavy fucking fantasy books, like a really dense world. Like Brian Sanderson, who finished writing The Wheel of Time after Robert Jordan passed away, he's known for world building and making really dense books. But I needed something to really take my mind off of it because it was making me deal with things I didn't want to deal with. And I read one of those and I'm like, hey, I'm ready. I went back to it, read 4 chapters, then went back. And this carried on for over a year and a half to the point where I read 7 or 8 other novels outside of it. While reading it, just to take a break from it. That's how fucking difficult that book is to read. Not because it's hard. It's so – like when I would sit down, I would chew through like 300 pages. But then I would be in a fucking fetus ball of like emotion and trying to deal with it. And there's so much more to deal with that these movies haven't touched on. And the movies actually skip over the best parts of the book, which is good because now people have a reason to read the books because they are obviously much better. But fuck, man, I'm hyped for this movie. And I'll feel like some sort of like personal conclusion when it finally comes out. Because
did you like the first chapter?
Yeah, I liked it. I thought it was really good. Yeah, okay. I thought it was a good horror movie. And I think they dealt with some of the issues of it well. And but I mean, obviously, it's not the book.
Some of it was a bit much, though.
Like what? Pennywise dancing?
I don't know, Anyways, no, that was amazing. That was, I love that. That's
the dumbest fucking scene in the book.
It's hilarious, though. Because I saw all the memes of Matt to make fun of stuff before I actually saw the movie, so that I was like, oh, I get it now.
That scene doesn't happen in the book. They added that. They chose that scene.
Of course they did. Of course they did.
Fucking hell. The floating kids and shit were good. But yeah, what didn't you like about it?
I don't know. I just I thought some of it was just a bit over the top. Like,
oh, I'm sorry. A movie about a killer clown that eats children.
No,
it's over the top.
Shut up. Like the original. I watched the original too, which is
a bad idea.
Weird. Super weird to watch as an adult, man.
Oh yeah.
It's just, yeah. Because you remember it being this terrifying thing that you would never forget, and you'd see scenes in your head that were almost worse than the actual movie.
Oh, absolutely.
And you don't realize that until you rewatch the actual movie.
I didn't sleep for a year after I saw that movie because I watched. I didn't
even see the whole movie. I just saw the spider stuff and I was like,
oh shit.
So my brother watched it and I was too young. Mm-hmm. And I walked in on them watching it and I was like, what the fuck is this nightmare? And then I lived in the trailer park at that time. So that even added more.
Oh, you were poor?
No. Yeah,
oh, actually. The real nightmare.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah,
the real nightmare. No, hold on. A trailer where we're from costs more than houses most people are from.
What?
A trailer where we're from costs more than a house most other people are from?
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
It was a nice trailer.
Yeah, nice trailer. I bet it was fucking great. You're not trailer trash. You're allowed to be here.
Oh, I want to be trailer trash so I can talk like this.
You already do. But my brothers, see, this is interesting. Your brothers were watching it without you. Your brother, sorry, was watching it without you because he knew you'd be scared by it. My brothers went and got me and made me watch this movie at 6 because they thought it'd be funny. How much
older is your brother than
you? I'm revealing personal details. They're older.
Okay. Well, my brother is significantly older than me. And my parents wouldn't let me watch it, so they sent me to my room.
Do you and your brother get along because you have such a large age gap?
Yeah, we fought once and he threw a cat on my face.
Honestly, I think you deserve it. All right, Ray, how you feeling, buddy?
Probably did.
Are you excited about this? Do you like this casting choice?
I have not seen any of it.
I haven't seen any of it. That's actually fine. You could have just say that. Yeah.
Any of the it. No, like of the various it's.
Are you not a horror movie person?
I like Hitchcock films.
Oh, so you don't like scary movies. What scared you as a kid?
The Nightmare Before Christmas. I hit that VHS.
Wow. That is so cute.
I hit that VHS for 10 years.
You hit it. That is so fucking funny. Oh my
God. Now everyone knows you're old. You said VHS.
Well, Nightmare Before Christmas isn't exactly like fucking remade or anything. Do you like that movie now as an adult?
I dislike it for different reasons.
Still terrified.
Were you triggered when Hot Topic made an entire culture of emo kids wearing Jack and Sally shit because Blink-182 offhandedly mentions it in one of their songs?
See, I think at that point I was old enough to not be scared of it anymore.
But does it bother you? Like, when I see clowns as an adult, up until I read it, because I think it helped me deal with my fucking fear of clowns, but I would, like, get disturbed. I'd get triggered. I see a fucking clown, I'm like, don't you fucking come near me. Like, I'd start muttering to myself. I'm like, listen, an old man. I know you're a dude in a suit, but I don't want to deal with this. All right? I don't want to go through this with you.
Clowns never scared me. I don't get it. I do not get it.
Because you didn't watch the whole fucking movie. You watched the spider part. Hey, guess what? Are you still scared of spiders?
Actually, no, because I've been surrounded with them and I think I'm used to them now.
Okay, well,
but I was never scared of them. I just didn't want them to touch me.
You
out of, like, my sex life.
Listen, I want you naked in front of me and have sex with me, but don't touch me during it.
Don't touch me.
Just put on this furry costume.
I don't think it bothered me because, like, at that point, I became sort of goth myself.
Oh, God, no.
No, so, like, I wasn't bothered. I was like, yeah, I'd fuck that Sally girl.
So, like, when I started murdering people, I got really into clowns, and that helped me get over it. That kind of thing?
Yes.
Okay. Would you getting triggered when you were younger when you'd see tall white guys? You know what I just realized? In a pinch straight soup? You know what I just realized? Slenderman is Jack Skeleton. He's a tall white dude with a white face and a fucking pinstripe suit. It's the same dude. It's just a guy in Jack Skeleton cosplay.
Mm-hmm.
Why is everyone making a big deal about it?
Slenderman wears a regular suit, not a pinstripe suit.
Oh, is it? Okay, sorry. When I see him, he's always wearing pinstripe and telling me to kill my family. But now that you haven't seen it, but do you like Jessica Chastain?
I have not seen the movie where she killed Osama bin Laden, so...
Zero Dark Thirty?
So that's the only way you can know if you like her?
Yeah.
Do you know what my favorite part of that movie was, Zero Dark Thirty? When Chris Pratt, who's just been... Not an action movie Chris Pratt, just Parks and Rec Chris Pratt, is like, Osama! Osama bin Laden! Trying to be one of the ladies' voices. Great stuff. Really, truly fantastic. That's all we got.
Made the movie.
Sweeter Sheet. This is a psychological experiment to evaluate what the two of you are like, and you are negative, shitty people, according to the science data that I've accumulated.
Thanks.
during this, but it was worth it. And I think it's worth it for us. Next up, I have to talk about some movies, and then we're going to call it there because we're going to go along. Should I? Yeah, we'll talk a little bit because you guys haven't seen the movies yet that I saw.
I've seen I, Tonya.
Oh, you didn't see I, Tonya. Okay,
yeah, I've seen Black Panther on Saturday.
Okay, well, we'll deep dive I, Tonya together next week. But I want to – we'll do a quick – I'm going to do a quick recap of Black Panther. It was good, and there was lots of dark skin. So I didn't feel bad when people were getting hurt, and that made the movie more enjoyable.
All right.
That's my review of Black Panther. I'm kidding. There's no panthers in the movie, which pissed me off. Kind of hoping for more animals or some CG rhinos that didn't make any fucking sense. The first half of the movie is very good. And the second half of the movie is okay. But they dealt with the social issues real well. Thought they did a good job. And a lot of the shit that people are complaining about, like it's being overly politicized, it is. That movie's not really what that's about. Movie's about a lot more than that. And the way they talk about things, the way they make Killmonger a bad guy, but then a good guy and some of his ideology made him a lot more interesting of a villain, although his dialogue was shit. And it didn't make any – he was talking all hood. And he was all thugged out the whole fucking movie. And they're like, he's a Harvard grad that's a black ops for the last 20 years. I'm like, he's 25 and fucking wearing pants around his ankles. He is not a fucking black ops operative for the military that went to Harvard for the last 20 years. Let's fucking be realistic about this. Like, they're all like, he can just be a badass. He doesn't have to be X anything, okay? He's just a badass, and that's the way he looks and acts and talks. The acting was on point. The first action scene is amazing. The final action scene is your typical superhero action scene. There's a bit of a Lord of the Rings style battle with it, with battle rhinos, which is okay. But that there's a scene early on, the first fight scene. It's like a crazy 88 style bar brawl, and it's fucking fantastic. And what's her name? Michonne from Walking Dead. She totally steals the show. Does a fucking amazing job.
Ooh,
and
she's a great actress.
And our official actress is in it, who's no longer our official actress, unfortunately. That's right. Magatha Nabuthu Ra. What's her name? Ra Magapa Bufu. What's her name? Gugu. Gugu. Gugu Mbatha Ra. That's her name. Gugu Mbatha Ra became our... You
butchered that so bad.
Oh, yeah. Any worse than fucking John Travolta at the Oscars trying to say Aweeb J. Jijibay's name? Wait, who was he talking about again? Was he talking about one of the black people in this movie? I don't actually
what?
Remember.
What? No.
I believe he was trying to say Michael B. Jordan.
No, he was not trying to say... Creed.
Idina Menzel, I think.
Is no, name. That was not. That's a white girl's name.
That's a white.
Chick. And that's a girl who sang the Frozen
John
scene.
Travolta,
yes,
still, right.
He couldn't say
Lupita. That's
who's, no. He,
that's whose name he butchered.
He couldn't
though.
Say Lupita Nyong'o.
Oh, he butchered another name.
No, that was the name at the Oscars. He's like next up. No. Here is Lupita Nyong'o. Pull
no.
Engineer Ray, pull up the clip. He's on the case.
He butchered Idina Menzel's name as well. He called her a deemed.
Did Lupita win? Because that's the only way I can find this.
What?
Did Lupita win whatever?
How about you say John Travolta fucks up name in Google and see what happens?
Shit, why'd I type George Clooney?
Because they're the same person.
He called her Adele Dazeem for Idina Menzel. Fuck you.
Yeah, but there's got to be something else.
I think maybe somebody else butchered Lupita's name.
You're Lupita's name. 7.9 for Black Panther, which is pretty good.
There is no John
An
Travolta
anchor butchered
Lupita
her name.
Nyong'o.
A random yeah. anchor, motherfucker.
Man, I might be wrong. I'm looking into this.
Do it. Just look up John Travolta, Idina Menzel, and you'll find him saying a deem.
But there's nothing about Lupita.
Fine. Angela Bassett's beautiful in this movie. She has white hair. She plays his mom. She looks gorgeous. She's always been gorgeous. She's amazing. Lupita Nyong'o is fine. I don't know why everyone's so obsessed with her. I thought she was just okay in the movie. His little sister was annoying as fuck. Letitia Wright, which is exactly what she was supposed to be. And she had even little cub paws that shoot lasers. She even made those at the end. That was so cute.
Pew, pew.
Yeah, pew, pew. But Danai Gurira... playing Okoye was just fucking awesome. She killed it, did great. I love Michael B. Jordan too. He's my favorite. Ryan Coogler did a really good job directing the first half of this movie. The second half, I think, was a little bit more studio. Was like, hey, this is a superhero film. He's like, oh yeah, yeah, I'll do all that other shit too. But definitely give it a thumbs up. Dig it. Go check it out. You'll enjoy it. Fuck all that. Fuck all the political bullshit. Fuck the fact that it's the only black movie and like since Blade or whatever. Fuck all that shit. Okay, screw all the politics that I may talk about. Just go enjoy the fucking movie. Movie's good. The design is amazing. Exploring Wakanda was so fun because they have interesting culture, that old unique culture. They have a very unique style and music. And God, the music was so on point for this movie. There's so many things that got right. I'm overlooking some of the shitty story elements at the end. And I really, really love this movie. And I had a good time watching it.
Sweet.
I said loved. Nice. I enjoyed this movie. So obviously, after my review, you can tell I give it a 6 out of 10. I'm just kidding. It's a fantastic film. See, I'm always scared about like overselling a movie, but like if I enjoy a fucking film, they do something difficult, like talk about social issues well, and they have some fun action. I mean, what really do you want other than that? I'll tell you what was not good.
You forgot about Hancock. You said we haven't had anything. You haven't had anything since Blade, but Hancock.
Hancock was truly dog shit. But you're right. we forgot about fucking Hancock. The Cloverfield Paradox on Netflix. So here's the deal. They made this movie.
It's bad. Is it bad? I think it's gonna say bad.
Let me back up. So they made this movie on Netflix. They made this movie.
Just the Netflix.
Bad Robot made this movie. Sci-fi movie. Like, cool, we'll start make this fun sci-fi movie. It's gonna be kind of like a family-friendly version of Event Horizon. Cool, says everyone. Make the film. Let's give it to a black director. There's not enough of those. So he does. First time director or whatever. New director. Makes this movie. This movie is the dumbest fucking movie I've ever seen. And I think when they watch this movie, they're like, this is the dumbest fucking movie we've ever seen. We can't just release it in theaters because it's bad. Because when you give someone a project, because of their race, not their talent, this is what happens. There's an exception, like not exception, but an example of proves the rule is like Ryan Coogler. Doesn't matter what color he is. Doesn't matter that he's black. He's an incredible director. He's hired because he's an incredible director.
I believe J.J. Abrams explicitly said a theatrical release needs to meet certain criteria.
Certain standards that this movie does not see.
Brand, yes.
But they reshot
He didn't say standards. He was like, we felt it was better for a different sort of distribution model.
Yeah, so what they do is that they're like, hey, we can't put this in theaters. What do we do? It's like, I know. Let's add a couple scenes that mention Cloverfield, rename the movie, and then we'll release it right after the Super Bowl on Netflix. Because then, you know, we can build up hype, pay for one commercial, call it a day. And they did. And the movie – and people watch the movie. And it ruins the Cloverfield timeline. It ruins the other Cloverfield movies.
Really?
Yeah. Ruins them. The way it even mentions the Cloverfield stuff, the way it ties into them, ruins the other movies. Because now the other movies don't mean anything. They don't – all the secret shit – like when the first campaign for the Cloverfield came out, I was so excited. I was super into it. I did all like the puzzles online. I was one of the people on the forums breaking down the trailers, going to the secret websites about all this big conspiracy about how Slusho Corporation was drilling at the bottom of this at the sea well. They woke up something. It came out and attacked them and messed them up. But where they get their secret ingredient from their drinks was harvesting off this thing. And the guy at the beginning of the Cloverfield movie, the reason why they're throwing him a go away party is because he's going to Japan to be the head of to be the vice president of Slusho. And it was all this big background conspiracy. The movie doesn't even mention really, just little tidbits hidden there and there. And it was so fun because they built this really big world outside of the movie. And they're like, listen, we thought about this. There's a bigger story here. And the movie's going to reveal some of the tidbits. But the real story is around all this hidden shit that we're hiding. We're hiding the real story and you're going to have to find it. And I love that idea. And I got super into it. And then 10 Cloverfield Lane comes out and has nothing to do with the original movie. And J.J. Abrams is like, yeah, instead of kind of continuing the same mythology, they're all going to be kind of standalone movies. I was like, okay. And then this next one was actually, no, they are all tied together. And the reason they're tied together is because we wanted to ruin the franchise with unimaginable bullshit. The way that people were mad at the Lost finale for ruining Lost, I didn't actually feel like it ruined Lost. I thought they did quite well. Not well, but okay. I knew what was happening and it was enough for me. And like, it wasn't really a twist ending, like everyone's saying.
It was predictable.
They told you. They tell you at the beginning of season 5 what's going to happen. And I don't know why people got so upset. But this, the way that people got mad about that is the way I'm mad about this. This ruins the other Cloverfield movies. And not only that, it just like, there's no reasoning behind any of it. The only good part of this movie is Chris O'Dowd's very funny. He's actually really funny in this movie. And some of the set pieces are quite interesting. But the rest of the movie and the acting is like, listen, Gugu Mbatha-Raw, you're our mascot for almost 3 episodes. That's a big deal. But we're getting a fucking divorce because this movie fucking sucked. And you let me down, homie. This movie's real bad.
And can I point out something?
Yeah. The ending is. Hold on. One more thing. The ending is worse than 10 Cloverfield. Know how people are mad about the 10 Cloverfield Lane ending? This ending's a million times worse. Go on.
If you play all 3 movies starting at the same time, they sync up at 18 minutes. Exactly.
What happens at 18 minutes?
That's when the. Is this a spoiler allowed zone or not?
All right, we'll allow minor spoilers. Minor spoilers ahead.
When the thing, you know, blows up in Cloverfield Paradox is the same moment in the original Cloverfield when, like, you first hear a rumble and the lights go up. And that is also, like, tangentially, I guess, because it's not. It's a similar major beat in 10 Cloverfield Lane. That is when John Goodman says, yo, the world's fucked.
Okay, but I mean, to be fair, you could put like Insidious 1, 2, 3, Conjuring 1 and 2, It, and pretty much any other modern horror movie on top of each other, and their scares will sync up every 8 minutes, you know. But I mean, that is an interesting little thing that they did there.
Well, some like, just given the nature of it, like a multiverse thing, then.
Yes. Like, I like that. I like that idea. I hate the idea of a fucking multiverse.
The idea is great. The execution is lacking.
Yes, sir. And the movie's very bad. And I encourage you to watch it because that movie sucked. Finally, I, Tonya. I loved it. I thought it was really great, well acted, uncomfortable, and heartbreaking because I was a figure skater growing up. Just so you guys know. Yeah, I wear the
outfit. Sure you were.
No, I'm not kidding. I actually was.
Were you actually? Yeah. I was too.
Hey, you only watched this because Margot Robbie is in it.
Yes, I did. I was like, hey, Harley Quinn's in something I can jerk off to. Oh, she's getting
it's something that's not a deep fake. Okay.
Yeah, she's getting domestically abused. Oh, no.
Wait, what?
Yeah, no, it's really sad. Like,
it's very sad.
So I was.
The movie. I thought you meant real life.
No, but we'll talk about that.
We don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. I hope she isn't. I hope she has a happy life. She's really pretty.
She's so hot.
She's sexy. She ain't pretty, though. She's pretty. She's sexy. She's weird looking, though. Anyway, so in I, Tonya, I was a figure skater during the 90s because I before you can get into hockey, you have to figure skate. So I figure skated until I was, I think, 9 or something. So my sister was...
Quitter!
Well, I went to hockey. And then
you're a quitter!
I skated circles around everyone in hockey because they're like, wait, you could skate? And I'm like, yeah. I've been skating since I was like 4. And then slowly everyone else hit puberty and then I realized I was the shortest person there and I had to quit. But my sister stayed with it and she was like really into it and shit. So we would watch like all this shit all the time. We were always watching figure skating and Olympic figure skating, all that bullshit in the house. And it was crazy because like when this happened, I remember it being like the biggest fucking deal and the media just like painting out. I remember growing up thinking that Tonya Harding was like a bad person who tried to fuck over a comparator because she couldn't like get her shit done. And she was like this big, ugly brute who fucking got mad at the pretty girl and beat her up because she was pretty. That's like the way they painted
it. And she wasn't a good skater and shit like
that. Yeah. And she was like not talented and that's why she had to do it. And then watching this, I had to go back and look at this shit and it was all like, it is really factual. Like to the point, like, I thought that some of the characters were like too crazy. Like there's this one character who plays her bodyguard, and he's such a funny character in the movie. He's so over the top and ridiculous. And there's a scene where he's like talking about, like, he's in an interview with a Kitty Kirk or something, and he's like, yes, I did many covert black ops operations, working with the paramilitary and discreet covert black ops, and I've been published as an expert in many places. She's like, oh, okay, like, where have you been published? And he's like, travel magazines. And like, it was like such a funny moment. I'm like, okay, this obviously didn't happen because it's fucking hilarious. And then at the end of the movie, they show you these clips of these people, like her weird mom with the huge glasses smoking a cigarette with a parrot on her arm. You're like, oh, that's clearly made up. No, that's real. Like, it's all real. Yep. Like that
100%.
That clip of him like fucking saying all that shit to Kitty Kirk is real too. And they show the clip and like, oh my God.
It was a great casting for him though.
Oh, it was. And even Bucky Barnes as her boyfriend did a really great job as a shitty character, but kind of empathetic. And it's heartbreaking. This girl dropped out of school at 15 to pursue the Olympic dream. She was trailer trash and people didn't want her there because of that.
Her mom was an asshole.
Her mom was the worst dance mom imaginable. Just like hard as a drill sergeant, as affectionate as one too, and pushed her. And she pushed her to be one of the best figure skaters, to like kind of great first woman to do a triple axel, which is insane. Very difficult move. And you know, and she did something else too that they don't mention in the movie, like a quadruple salchow or some shit. But she was an incredible skater, and she did it on her own without anyone like believing in her, just by pure grit and determination, without the money or the Olympic coaches or anything. And she made it there herself, and she did it against all these odds. And when you learn more about her story, you fall in love with her, and you feel like so heartbroken over the incident, although she might still be guilty. But to this day, no one has proven her guilt, and the movie doesn't either.
Yeah, well, and I mean, and he even came out and said that she had nothing to do with it.
Everyone said
he has nothing to gain by saying it now.
Yeah, they've all went their separate ways for 20 years now, but everyone still surmises like, oh yeah, she might have known. I mean, she's gotta, but no one can definitively say that she knew. And in the movie, the way that it played out is the way that it played out according to all the depositions of everyone else. So it was fucking fascinating. Kayla, let's hear your review on it.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed seeing like the different sides of things. Cause like you, figure skater, was all into that shit watching it. And then I always thought she was just this terrible person who wanted to destroy this girl's career for whatever reason.
Beautiful Nancy Kerrigan.
Yeah, like, and it was just like they portrayed Nancy Kerrigan as like this like beautiful sweetheart. And then for the movie, for me too, it was bringing it back to how fucking pissed off she looked for winning second place or third place or whatever she won.
Yeah.
And I was like, bitch, you medaled in the Olympics. Like, you know, like,
appreciate just that fucking moment for just one second.
And like, and it kind of put that back to me. And I'm just like, why are you such a sour ass bitch? Like, you still won. You probably still would have only won that even if your knee didn't get hit. But that's besides the point. You know, like, it was nice to see the different aspects of it. I never knew anything about like what her mom was like or how she grew up or any of that. I didn't know who she was. All I knew was she ruined Nancy Kerrigan's career / didn't ruin it at all because she still went to the Olympics.
Yeah. Like, but, I mean, I was familiar with her as a boxer, but like that's the only thing I knew her from outside of that.
Yeah. So it was and so much emotional abuse in her life and shit like that was just like, whoa, okay. This makes so much more sense now.
It's hard to believe that people live those types of lives. Like, I can't imagine just like if you go off that. I don't know. She had it tough, basically. And it's a really, I know it sounds sad. Like, it's weird to say, but it was a really fun movie for such a sad movie.
Well, it was just the way that Margot Robbie was portraying her too was just so fucking entertaining.
Yeah, it was great. I hope it gets a couple Oscars. And also those CG scenes of her skating are fucking flawless, man. Holy Jesus. The only thing I didn't like was the arena was super fake. But aside from that, the skating scenes are just incredible. So
it was good.
That girl who did the skating and had to wear the green mask and couldn't see shit and had to do all that maneuvers. Good for you, girl. You're the real MVP in this movie. How would you rate it out of 100?
Out of 100? I mean, I'd probably like give it like a 79.
I'm gonna give it a hard 83. Thought it was a really well made movie. Thought it's definitely worth watching. And yeah, there's not a ton of good movies out there. This is a pretty good movie. Pretty good.
True. And it was good, but I won't like watch it over and over.
No, it's not like a movie I'll love or was anything profound, but it helped me think about someone I knew about. Helped me think about them in a brand new way. And I find a lot of those movies that try to do that, like Capote or Churchill or those movies, I always kind of end up feeling the same way about the character. I don't feel a lot of revelations, but this one definitely did do that. And I'm going to give it my pick of the week. That's our recommendation. Go watch I, Tonya. that'll be my pick this week is watch I, Tonya. And Ray, how about you? What should people watch this week?
Kayla first.
Okay.
I haven't been watching anything this week, so I don't even know what to tell y'all to watch.
We'll give a Netflix recommendation then, if you like.
I've been so busy, I've barely been watching anything. I haven't seen the Cloverfield movie yet. I mean, again, I've still only watched the first episode of Altered Carbon, but it's pretty fucking cool, and I think I'm gonna like the show. I gotta finish it.
Okay, well, how about you give us like a episode recap as you go through them, like kind of fill us in on the series and how it goes.
Well, for the first episode, like right now? Or?
No, just like in the future.
Okay, yeah, I can do that.
Yeah, so watch the next
episode. Start watching it again.
All right, so we're going to make this your continual recommendation. You can see if you're still in love with Altered Carbon. Ray, what are you feeling, buddy?
I am feeling... I haven't been watching anything, so I don't...
Well, how about anything old movie? So Valentine's Day was recently. We didn't get to record on Valentine's Day, unfortunately.
Oh, okay.
So how about our favorite love movies for people that miss Valentine's Day?
That's my favorite love movie. Damn.
Well, I can give you mine in the meantime if you like.
Yes, that would help.
Okay, so I'll give five recommendations because I can never pick anything. Great Expectations. Wow. Great Expectations, one of the greatest love stories ever told. Charles Dickens classic. It was adapted to film by Alfonso Cuarón, one of the best directors alive, starring Gwyneth Paltrow and Ethan Hawke. It is an incredible moving story that is beautifully shot and directed. Next up, this is a dumb book and shittier movie, and I love every second of it. It's called The Notebook. Watch that movie a bunch. I think it's so sweet that she can go away all this time and he would build her dream house and take her canoeing and do something crazy. Like,
because nobody does that in real life. God damn it.
No, it's like one of those things. Like, I'm the type of guy that would hang off of a fucking Ferris wheel to get a girl's attention. Like, I know that desire, that need, and like, you know, and to do something crazy like that, like build a fucking house just to impress a girl. Like, I get it. And I thought that was really, really sweet. Another love movie I really enjoyed is Forgetting Sarah Marshall. I think it's probably one of the better movies about love there is, because it shows you how to transition in and out of it, which is definitely one of the hardest parts to do. And 500 Days of Summer, which does the same thing. So those will be my picks for Valentine's Day movies. Some are a little bittersweet, some are sad.
Was that four or five?
Oh, if I'm missing one, definitely maybe would make the list if I still have another room. For another one, I think definitely maybe is a very cute movie. Really enjoyed it. Ryan Reynolds classic love story.
Good people.
Yeah, Kayla, do you want to pick one as well?
What, for a romantical movie?
Yeah, is Altered Carbon romantic?
No, not really.
Okay, well, fair.
It's dark as fuck. You want to go with a really bad old romantic movie? How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days is always a fan favorite.
Oh, that might be the worst movie ever made.
I have three.
Right? It's so bad.
I loved it. You have four? So, I mean, I think your favorite
super
movie.
Super bad. Hold on. Juno, Scott Pilgrim, Nick and Nora, Infinite Place.
Seriously, like anything I can jerk off to Mike Sara, I'll watch that. Jeez. You just go up to Sara's IMDb and really took his top four best known for?
No, generally, I think these are sweet movies.
Go on.
That I really relate to as.
The only love story you relate to is AI, because it's about a robot trying to figure it out.
How did that work out for him?
He ended up freezing himself for 2,000 years with a lock of his mother's hair in his stomach, repeating the same words to a bear over and over again, hoping that his parents would eventually find him until aliens do and explain to him everyone's dead. That's how that movie ended. Spoiler alert! Great film.
I'll also say Spider-Man 2.
Okay, hold on. Let's
Fuck movies. Let's watch a show that's super romantical and beautiful.
Like what?
Jane the Virgin.
Oh my God. Why are you guys giving me... I gave you guys 5 stellar recommendations and both of you are making a mockery of this.
Excellent Michael Cera movie.
You made...
I really relate to as a unfortunate millennial.
Okay, hold on. Let's go through these movies again.
Fine.
Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist, right?
Yes.
That's a cute movie about love. I enjoy that. What's another? A Superbad?
Yes.
They don't end... Oh, I guess they kind of do. That's about them failing at love and then getting a second chance, maybe, and then realizing that they have to put aside their childish friendships and focus on relationship with women.
But not even that. They realize that their methods of trying to start a relationship were incorrect and they needed to be sincere.
Oh, shit. You're right. There's a lot I can learn from that movie. Maybe these are better thought out than I thought they were. Okay, go on.
Juno.
Juno's about...
teen pregnancy.
Jason Bateman being creepy.
Yeah, but
I'll fuck you, Ellen Page.
Sarah, like they kind of drift apart during the movie, but they come back together after she gives birth. Like they,
because that's what happens when you make shitty indie music together.
I mean, isn't shitty indie music like the ultimate millennial expression of love?
Juno taught me nothing about love. Go on. What was the other one?
Scott Pilgrim.
Scott Pilgrim, I get. That's a really great book series and an even funner movie. And yeah, he learns at the end, he's like, hey, I tried to cheat on the girl I was kind of seeing, Knives Chow, with you, but you're not the girl that I want at the end, and I should be with Knives at the end. But then it didn't end up like that in the movie for some reason.
That's why I believe the alternate ending is the real ending, and then I always just switch at that point.
You just pull out a manga and like, not today! Edgar Wright!
not today!
No, they filmed the alternate ending.
Oh, did they? Oh, okay, yeah.
I just switch it.
I love...
Like, I leave the chapter and I go special features.
That movie, I definitely dig too, because I love that book series. I was reading it like a long, long time before that, because... By reading it before everyone, I am a hipster, and that makes me better than you, is what I was trying to get at. That's why I pointed out that factoid. Also, I have a huge crush on Mary Elizabeth Winstead. Ever since Sky High, I've been kind of in love with her. I mean, some big eyes. I don't know.
You like big eyes, do you?
Big fan. The more they can see of me, the more they dislike me, so it's kind of a catch-22, but I'm a huge fan of big eyes. Actually, by that metric, more Asian girls will be into me, and they are most certainly not. Every time I go to a Chinese restaurant or a Japanese restaurant to get a table, they're always like handing me Uber delivery or skip the dishes deliveries. I'm like, no, I'm not a skip the dishes driver. I'm just brown. I want to eat here, please.
They're like, you don't eat until you earn.
Yeah. You're supposed to deliver. I'm like, no, I'm not the delivery guy. He doesn't look anything like me, racist. And then a brown guy with a toque and like the exact same type of jacket and a beard comes in behind me. And I'm like, motherfucker, I get it. No, it's my fault. You're not even racist.
It's like that bit in 30 Rock when, Alec Baldwin's character shows up and brown people are making microwaves. And he's like, don't you guys know who I am? And they're like, sorry, all you white guys look the same.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
He leaves and a delivery guy. Who is Alec Baldwin?
Yes. Oh my God. Alec Baldwin's the man. I like that he called his daughter a little pig. Put her in her place. That's what I say. Oh no, that's so horrible. Let me retract that statement. You can delete
that. Here's a different romantic pull. Let the Right One In. Dutch film.
Jesus.
Adapted
Christ,
into Let Me In.
God damn it.
The original
man.
Is good.
No, but
I was just like thinking to myself, all the ones that I like are dancing, and that's why I'm not telling.
Well, yeah, the ones you were picking were like 10 Things I Hate About You or the fuck it was, a bullshit movie.
Yeah, but like one of my favorite, well, you stole The Notebook, so I can't fucking say that.
You're allowed to say movies I said.
I didn't know that.
We're allowed overlap.
Really, like, it's just going to make people bawl because P.S. I Love You, and that just makes everybody cry.
Oh, yeah, because the shitty fucking fake Irish accent that Jeffrey Dean Morgan tries to sport during the movie makes me want to fucking weep every time I read it.
Oh, he's in it for like 5
minutes.
Well,
no, he's in it long enough to ruin the film with his shit accent.
It's like that, the Gerard Butler book.
Hillary Swank.
Shit.
First of all, Gerard Butler is not going to write a bunch of letters. Wouldn't marry Hillary Swank because she's a dude. So first of all, Second of all, wow. He wouldn't write a bunch of letters being like, yeah, I hope you go out to my hometown and fuck a bunch of people there. That's what I want you to do. That would be stupid. That's what he said. He's like, oh, you should go out and get some dick and move on. I want you to be happy. Fuck you. I would say dwell on me forever. Don't touch an Irish dick as long as you live.
This is why you're going to die alone.
Yeah. No, I get it. I'm just saying, because of that, the movie's not very realistic. That movie fucking sucks so bad. Oh my god,
I love that movie. I don't care. It's such
god,
a
terrible movie. Sucks. I fucking love
it. It's no Notebook, but
it's no fucking. What was that movie you picked first? How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Yeah. 10 Things I Hate About You.
10 Things I Hate About You is actually a great movie. I really
that movie is wonderful.
Yeah, it's actually a fan. Any movie?
Dirty Dancing.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Yeah, Dirty Dancing's creepy. It's about a 28-year-old raping a child, and no one says anything.
Child?
Yeah, she's 16. She's called
no,
baby.
She's not.
Yes, she is.
No,
lives at
she's
home with her parents.
University.
Yeah, she went early. She's a genius.
And he's like 24. What he else? Just looks all.
He's
old
four-
in that movie because in real life he's old.
I looked it up. He's 47 and she was 9.5 years old. That's that is the relationship you're condoning.
You're disgusting.
Well, we're gonna
you should be ashamed of yourself.
We're ending it this week like how we always do on pedophilia. Thank you everyone for listening to Ravelcast. I have been your host Achilles, or your hosts Achilles. Also joined by the Kayla's Quins and the Somans Riders. You can
hello.
Find me.
I mean goodbye.
God damn it, our AI is glitching again. You can find me at Achilles on Twitter, ravelcast.com, download all the episodes. Someone, where can they find you? All right, you can't find him. He's like, you cannot find me. In fact, I'm going secret now. And he teleports away.
It's at Salmon Rider, an unused Twitter.
Okay, cool. And Kayla?
I try to be silent as well, but I'm laughing too hard. Kayla Quinn _9 on Twitter or Instagram.
Do you have any final thoughts before we close up, you two?
Oh, you're all fucking weird.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening to Ravelcast. That has been our episode this week. Join us next week when we watch some trailers and talk about masturbation and porn again. Because apparently that's all.
Porn.
No, we didn't do it on. Damn it. If we didn't say anything, no one would have known. Because that's only on the uncut.
That's okay. They need to know.
I should also tell people there's no ads. That might be a selling feature. I think this has gone too long. Thanks everyone for listening, and until next time, we remain podcasting. That was fucking.